This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It can, when you've got your little baby, and this is your creation, and you know somebody gives you a dose of reality, it's very hard. That's why I like people to correct me via either text or an email, because let's say you say something, you and I are face-to-face, and you say something that maybe goes, ouch, to me. I might defend myself, only whether it's my pride or my ego or it's just sensitivity. Whereas if you write somebody something, then they can go back and reread it a few times, and finally you start to wake up and go, well, you know, she might just be right about this. And that's hard. That's got to be difficult because, like we were talking about Debbie Maycomber, I was shocked when she invited me to her 25th anniversary out in Vegas of writing Random House or whatever. And I was shocked that she has these editors. And these editors have been with her for 20, 30 years. Yes. And those people go in, and you got to put your ego aside when they say, you got a great idea here, but you've lost the audience in the fourth chapter, as you said.
That's absolutely true. And I don't think any of us, if we're being honest, ever outgrow that whole ego thing. I mean, we, you know, we give it to God and we ask him to make us more like him and all of those things, but we're still human and it still hurts. It's you know, when you birth a book, it's like your baby. You said that earlier. And so you put it out there and someone tell in the natural, if you call my baby ugly, I'm probably going to take you out. You know, don't mess with my kids. And so it's the same way with this book that you've birthed and you've nurtured and you've raised up so far, and you give it to somebody to take a look at, and then they tell you it's not good. That is, there's no way for that not to be hurtful. But you have to know that these people, if you trust these editors, and hopefully you do, or the person that's looking at it, and they have the credentials to back them up, and they know something, or you would have gone to them. You have to trust that whatever words they give you that are critical. It's the criticism wrapped in love. They're trying to help you become better. And it's not like I love that. I'll never forget going to this. It was in Dallas. We lived in Fort Worth for about a decade. And I went to this writer's seminar in Dallas because I was always trying to get better. And I took an article with me specifically to have reviewed that had already been published because I knew it would be good and I would get like lots of accolades. I didn't take one I was working on. I took one specifically that I knew was already good because I wanted them to like brag on me. Now that's kind of stupid, but that's what I did. And instead of getting bragged on, the guy obliterated. I have never seen so much red ink in my life on one piece of paper. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? I mean, this has already been out there for the world to see. And it was that bad. I cried all the way home. And it was in my early 20s. And my husband, we went out for dinner that night. And I was just sulking around. He goes, let me understand this. You wanted to go there to get better. The guy's helping you get better. And you're mad about it. I don't get it. You know, spoken like a spouse would say. But he's a man of few words because I talk all the time. But when he speaks, it's usually very important. And so I took what he said to heart, and he was right. And I went back the next day for the second session because I did want to get better, even though my ego had been completely bruised.
But,
you know, once we think we've arrived, then we're already in trouble. We're always learning. We're always getting better.
But we have to be careful because to differentiate the naysayers, because there are people out there that won't even be honest enough to themselves if they're jealous of you. I know that Debbie Maycomber tells one of those stories, having sold over 240 million copies of the books, 8 Hallmark TVs, shows, specials and stuff, movies. She went to a seminar like the one I met you at before she was famous. And all of a sudden, in front of the whole crowd, like in this half of a stadium or whatever, this lady pulls out her book that she's partially written. And she says, oh, good. Oh, she picked my book. Well, the lady proceeded to say that this person should never become an author. And it's terrible, terrible, terrible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and yet later on, Debbie goes on to, like I said, sell 240 million copies of her books. So the point is, you do have to be careful because there are naysayers, you know, and there are people that will be jealous of you. You know, you have a great appearance. You have your sparkly personality. And when I went into class, I said, I'm sure some women are probably pretty jealous of Michelle. My mom told me years ago when I got into the radio business 28 years ago, she said, you better have thick skin like a duck and let it roll off your back, because I didn't. She was so wise, and I was stupid. But it took me 20-something years to learn that some people, they can't help themselves. They just don't like you because you diminish them when you walk in the room. Instead of going where a winner will say, "Hey, Michelle did this. Well, that means that I can do it too because you started off as a poor little girl that didn't know anything. Got a sparkly pencil for her first award," which encouraged her, you know? And so there's two ways of looking at everything. And if anybody's listening to it, you know, own up to it. You know, I remember one time some years, 20 years ago, some good-looking guy walked into the room, and I'm not usually a jealous kind of guy, but I've had this feeling. I said, "Ooh, you're jealous." And I had to be honest. I was jealous of the guy, you know?
I mean, I think we're all human, and I've been on both sides of that situation where I have people judge me really just based on what they thought. I'll never forget. I was asked to speak at, I do a lot of speaking at women's conferences and at churches, and they had me come and they chose a topic. Oftentimes I'll bring the topic, but this particular group chose a topic. It was about joy, the joy of the Lord. And I went to this, it was a really nice area, beautiful in the Midwest. And there were about 500 women there. And I was standing to the side and I looked out at the women. There was not one lick of joy in there. I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a tough crowd." I mean, there was nobody chatting or talking or laughing or eating any of the cookies that were around. It was gloom and doom and despair. And I thought, okay, wow. So I was just praying to the side of the stage and I heard the Lord say, "You're not going to open with what you thought you were." I thought, yeah, I think you're right about that one. And so I just asked, "What do I do?" And the Lord told me what to say. I came out and I could sense already that they hated my guts. I rarely have that, but I'm like, yep. I could literally feel how much they hated me.
Yes.
And so I went up and I said, "Okay, I'm just going to start off," because they did this beautiful introduction and read my bio and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I came out and said, "Okay, let's just be honest. I just want to have a show of hands. How many of you looked at my picture and saw this bubbly little blonde and thought, what in the world can she teach me about joy?" And every hand in the room went up except for maybe one, the lady that was one of the conference, because she was afraid to put hers up.
I told
and
you.
So I said, "Yeah, that's what I thought." I'm like, "And you know what? I'd be exactly where you are. If I saw that picture and heard my bio, I would be looking for the exit." And I said, "But let me tell you, I've been through some stuff. I'm right where you are."
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell them, look, it hasn't been butterflies and sunshine and bluebirds on my shoulder my whole life. And I may put on a really good front, but I've been through some stuff and I can help you and we can do this together. And I'm one of you, we're sisters. And so once you disarm that,
yes,
knowing that that might be the immediate response, then there can be some real work done. The Holy Spirit can go to work. But I think it's actually a good thing to be aware of that so that you can disarm it right away.
Oh, man, honesty is so important. I remember as I told you, my dad was killed day before my fifth birthday in a car accident. And then I had a stepfather for 6 short years, from 6 until 12, though. And he would told me, you know, "You're never going to amount to anything." I mean, who would say that to a little 7-year-old? But anyway, "You're never going to amount to anything, and your mouth is going to get you in trouble." Every day of my life till I was 50 years of age, I heard, "Your mouth's going to get you in trouble, your mouth." And then I had a counselor who happens to have 11 children. And he's been counseling me for about 14 years. And he said, "Oh," this is about maybe 12 years ago. He says, "Oh, is that the same voice? Your mouth's going to get you in trouble one day." He said, "Is that the same voice that got you interviews with presidents of the United States, with rock stars and Garth Brooks and you know, I mean, all?" And it's like he took a pin and he popped the balloon. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard that ugly voice in the back of my head since. So, but that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been honest with him. And then he honestly approached it. And I think that is genius what you did with those people. Because once people know, people get this idea, like from the outside, you know, you look like you have this beautiful life. You've got your children. You've got 6 grandchildren. You have top-selling books. You have 112 books to your credit. But people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Isn't that the truth? That is so true.
Yeah.
And I, if you go into every book project and every speaking opportunity and every interview with that in the back of your mind, then I feel like you'll always have the light of Jesus shining in you. It won't be about you. It'll be about what he's done through you, because it's all about him. And I love what that guy said to you. I love what your counselor said. I often find, as I look back over my life and the people that I think are important and have made big impacts on me, that people are often attacked in the area where God wants to use them the most. You don't think the devil knows that? You don't think the devil knew that God wanted to use your voice in such a mighty way? Of course he knew. And that's why he wanted to shut you down and make you feel like you weren't good enough, so that you couldn't interview presidents and Garth Brooks and all the many people you've made an impact on the airwaves for years. So if he could have shut you down early, that wouldn't have happened. That happens so often. And so I tell people when I'm speaking, if you're being shut down in an area over and over again, that's probably, you're probably right exactly where you need to be. That is probably where God is going to do the most amazing things with you. And that's why the devil's fighting so hard to keep you from it.
And I want to say this about Michelle Medlock Adams, that as an author for children's books, 112 books to her credit, you sort of have a clandestine operation, and that is feeding morality and feeding a code of ethics and feeding the name of Jesus to children when they're young, because train up a child in the way that they may go, and though the world may take them out for a while, they will return to what they've learned. So your job is so important. I just can't tell you how impressed I am with you. But again, if people want to get in touch with you or buy one of your books, what is your website, et cetera?
Yes, just go to MichelleMedlockAdams.com. Michelle's with two L's and Medlock is M-E-D-L-O-C-K, Adams.com. You can contact me there through, there's an email link, or you can actually sign up for my email newsletter. You'll find me that way. I'm also all over social media under IN Writer Girl, Indiana Writer Girl, IN Writer Girl on Instagram and TikTok and all the other places. You can find me there.
You know, I did some recordings up there in Indiana at Bill Gaither's studio in Alexandria, I think it is.
Is that, are you near Anderson? Is that where you were?
Yeah, Anderson. That's it. Anderson. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I know exactly where that is.
Yeah. So I was up, spent some time at the very flat country.
But yes, it is. I'm in the Rolling Hills part of the state. It's much prettier down south.
Yeah. Well, you need to come to Florida and give a conference, but we'll talk
Amen.
About that in
I'm
future.
Coming. I'm coming for you. Next week, I'll be in Orlando, actually.
Michelle Medlock Adams, thank you. God bless you and be with you. Make his face to shine upon you. And please continue your work. Bringing the name of Jesus to little children through your children's books, okay?
Thank you so much. I enjoyed our time together.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of the Cross Church here in Palm City, Florida. We'd like to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10 a.m. We are a Reformed congregation, and so we believe that salvation is all of grace by faith in Jesus Christ alone and not of works. We are currently studying the Gospel of Matthew expositionally, verse by verse, every week. All sinners are welcome, so come as you are, but leave as he is.
When I was young, you called my name. I tried to run, but still you came. And you stepped into the dark, 'cause that's just the kind of God you are. When heaven seems beyond my reach, you still see eternity in me. You're turning ashes into art, 'cause that's just the kind of God you are.